You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
Tonight we want to start a series of studies concerning the Word. The Word first as He, the Word became incarnate in the flesh, and to see the similarity and the actual organic union between the incarnate Word and the written Word. Now, I think you see when you get through this study that the importance of this is that the incarnate Word of God never operates aside from the written Word. And the written Word never is out of contact or out of organic union with the incarnate Word. As a beginning, you'll note in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, that preaching the Word makes known the written Word. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. Preaching the Word makes known the written Word. Notice the instruction. Preach the Word. The instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound teaching. So it's the preaching of the Word, but the written Word comes into focus. Now, the written Word makes known the living Word. John chapter 5 and verse 39. John 5, 39. With those close, so everybody can keep up tonight. It's the written Word. Remember, the preaching of the Word makes known the written Word. And the written Word makes known the living Word. Chapter 5 and verse 39. No, it makes known the living Word. Search the Scripture. In them you think you have eternal life. And they, the Scriptures, are they which testify of me, the living Word. Now, the living Word makes known the Father. John chapter 1. Verses 1 through 4, verses 14 and 18. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same as in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him life, and the life was the light of men. Verse 14. And the Word became flesh, dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 18. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. So it's the living Word, it makes known the Father. Beginning with the preaching of the Word, makes known the written Word. The written Word makes known the living Word. The living Word makes known the Father. And the Holy Spirit is the revealer and the interpreter of each. John chapter 14 and verse 26 and John 16. John 1st chapter 14 and verse 26. 14:26. The Holy Spirit is the revealer and the interpreter of each, whether it be the preaching, the written, or the living. Verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. And chapter 16. And verses 12 through 15. Chapter 16, verse 12 through 15. I did many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath in mind, therefore he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. So that the preaching of the word makes known the written word. The written word makes known the living word. The living word makes known the Father, and the Holy Spirit reveals and interprets each one. What is the word? Well, the word, of course, is language. It is an expression of a thought. A thought is something that's hidden, it's invisible, it's secret. But the word makes manifest whatever the thought is. Thus, the hidden thoughts, plans, purposes, and program becomes a rather revealed, known, and understandable thing when it comes to the word. I think that gives us enough background as to the word itself. Now, tonight we want to begin to look first at the incarnate word as to title and name, and contrast it in organic meaning, or rather not contrast it, but to note the similarity between the written word itself and the living word, the incarnate word. First, the word God as to the incarnation in the person of Christ. Looking at Revelation chapter 19 and verse 13. Revelation 19:13. Now, keep in mind, we're dealing at this point with the incarnate word. Verse 13, Revelation 19. And he was clothed with a vesture, dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Likewise in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. Hebrews 4, verses 12 through 13. Misunderstood in England. Now note this, talk about the incarnate word. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, is discerning the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. Talking about him, this word. And all things are naked and open under the eyes of him with whom we have to do, seeing that we have such a high priest. So, but not the person, the incarnate word. A lot of people have used verse 12 to refer to the written word, and it does work that way, but it actually, the context, you know, is talking about him. Note also in 1 John, chapter 1 and verse 1. 1 John, not John's Gospel, but 1 John.
1 John what?
1 John, chapter 1 and verse 1. Note talking about him, the incarnate word. That which was from the beginning, which we heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word life. So here we have the incarnate word. Now note the written word. Mark chapter 7 and verse 13. Mark 7, 13. But when somebody calls you a Bible worshiper, don't feel too bad. Mark 7:13. Here, referring to the written word, Jesus talking, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition. And then in Luke 4, next book over, chapter 4, verse 4. Jesus said, it is written, the written word, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Likewise, in chapter 5 and verse 1, also Luke 5:1. Luke 5:1. Came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear what? The word of God. To hear the word of God. The written word. And also 8:11. Luke 8:11. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. There are lots of other references, but this will suffice to show the similarity in how one works with the other constantly. There's no other. Now, in reference to the incarnate word, notice he is called away. That is the incarnate word. John chapter 14. And verse 6, John 14:6. Now we're talking about the way, John 14:6. Jesus said, I am, this is the incarnate word, I am the way. Ephesians 2:14, showing him to be the way. Notice, the incarnate word, for he, Christ, is our peace. We have made both one, Jew and Gentile, broken down the middle wall of partition between us. See, he is the way. Now, as to the written word being the way, Matthew 22:16. Now, if there's any questions anywhere on there, you stop me. I think most of these passages are self-explanatory, but if you have a problem, why stop?
So Matthew 22:16, written word?
The written word, yes. Now the written word is written. I'd like to ask on that Luke 8:11, the seed is the word of God, but the seed. Well, it's talking about it. He just explained the parable there, so I'm referring back to the seed, which was a part of the written word. But it has to do with the written word. Now, as to the way, the written word as to the way, Matthew 22:16. Notice, and they said unto, sent unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true and teachest. Notice what he teaches. From the written word, he teaches what? The word of God. See? And then also in the Psalm, go back to the 119th Psalm. See, the written word is the way. The 119th Psalm. Verse, we have a lot of verses here, but we'll just start at verse 27. Psalm 119:27. Put your Bible a half and you hit the Psalm. 119th Psalm. verse 27. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. Then in verse 30, I have chosen the way of truth. Verse 32, I will run the way of thy commandments. And last, verse 33, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes. So that, no, the incarnate word is the way, the written word is the way. Now, the truth, and you know, you all looked at John 14, where Jesus said, I am the way, but he also says, I am the truth. And likewise in John chapter 1 and verse 14 through 17, John 1, you put down the other reference there with it, John 14, 6, of course, but we won't turn there since we already looked at that reference. But in John chapter 1, verses 14 through 17, now we're looking at the truth, the incarnate Word of God as the truth. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and what? Truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me, and was fullness of all received grace and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So that the incarnate Word is not only the way, but he is truth. Now as to the written Word, John 17, verse 17. The incarnate Word is the truth, the written Word is the truth. John 17, 17. John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. Also Psalm. But before we go to Psalm, turn to Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. Talking about the written word is the truth. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. But the written word is the truth. Galatians 3:1. O foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you that you should not obey the truth. This is the truth that Paul has spoken to. He's writing in rebellion. And likewise in the Psalms, chapter 19 and verse 9. The written word is the truth. Psalms 19:9. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Burn that in the written word. Verse 9, Psalm 19:9. That's the last clause of verse 9. Chapter 19, verse 9. That's the written word as the truth. Now the incarnate word as the light. Incarnate word as the light. John chapter 8 and verse 12. John chapter 8 and verse 12. The incarnate word as the light. Spake again unto him, saying, I am the light. So Jesus Christ, in the incarnate sense, is the light. Likewise, in chapter 1, verse 7 through 9, John 1, 7 through 9. Notice again, we're talking talking about the incarnate word. This is John talking. So the same came for witness, to bear witness of the light, speaking of Christ, that all men through him might believe. He, that is John, was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light, of Christ. And speaking of verse 9, that Christ was the true light, which lights every man cometh into the world. So that the incarnate word is also the light. Might put on there for another reference, if you like, Matthew chapter 4 and verses 14 through 16. Now, not only is the incarnate word the light, but the written word is the light also. 2 Peter chapter 1. Chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. Notice, it's the written word we're talking about now as the light. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. For unto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, and the day dawn, and the day star rise in your heart. It's all coming from the written word, the light. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scriptures is a private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved or carried along by the Holy Spirit. So it's the written word that gives light, likewise, as well as the incarnate word. And then in Psalm 119 again, we have the written word as the light. Psalm 119, verse 105 and 130. The written word. Psalm 119. Now the word is light. The written word.
What verses?
105 and 130. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Verse 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light. So that here we have the written word as the light. Coming back to the incarnate word. He is eternal life. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 20. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 1 John 5:20. And they know that the Son of God has come and given us understanding in order that we may get to know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This Jesus Christ, see, is the true God and what? Eternal life. So that in John chapter 1 verse 4, we read that a while ago, just write it down. And then Colossians chapter 3 and verse 4. The incarnate word is eternal life. Colossians 3:4. Christ, our life. See? Christ, our life. He is the eternal life. He is our life. Then, as to the written word, it's referred to as the word of life. Not referred to as eternal life, but the word of life. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 16. Now we're talking about not the incarnate word, but the written word. Philippians 2:16. Forth the word of life, referring to the written word, Paul did. Likewise in John, chapter 6, verse 63 and verse 68. 1:6. Verse 63 and verse 68. John 6, 63 and 68. That was Jesus talking now. It is the spirit quickens, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. We have it written right here. This is the life. The written word is also. Likewise, verse 68. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Not referring to him, but the words. See, he is eternal life, but likewise his word is eternal life, too. That's the words of eternal life. Then he's called the Prince of Peace in Isaiah 9:6. Isaiah 9:6, the written, the incarnate word, is the Prince of Peace. It's called the Wonderful Prince of Peace, that's it. Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government should be called to be upon his shoulders. His name should be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So he's called the Prince of Peace, the incarnate word is. And the written word is called the Gospel of Peace, the good news of this peace. Romans chapter 10, verse 15. The gospel of peace, good news of peace, if you will. Romans 10:15. Romans 10:15. The gospel of peace. How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, or if you're talking about the written word of God, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, bring good tidings, good things, and so on. Now, this gives us note, everything we've been dealing with here has to do with name or title, showing you the similarity, the organic union between the written word and the incarnate word. Now, we want to look at some of the attributes. We won't get to finish on this score tonight, but we do want to look at something here just to let you see. First, the incarnate word is divine and yet human. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. The incarnate word is both divine and human. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. It's a very familiar verse, but be quite quick, quite frequently. Notice both divine, both without controversy, great is the mystery of Godhead. God was manifest in the flesh. So that he not only is God, he is also man, very much so. Now, if we keep in mind, we're talking about the incarnate word right now, not the written word. You'll notice that this incarnate word was given by God the Father. And write it down, I'll quote it because you're familiar with this, to John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son. This is the incarnate incarnate word. This was given by God. And then also in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15. About the incarnate word, not the written word, as given by God, this divine with him. Verse 15, thanks be to God for his what? His unspeakable gift, referring to the incarnate word. Now this incarnate word was given unto man. That's chapter John, chapter 6, verse chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. The incarnate word was given by God and given unto man. John chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. These are familiar verses too. John 1, verses 11 and 12. And he came unto his own. Keep in mind that he said, I'm sent. God sent him. Came unto his own received him not. But as many as received him, to him gave the authority to become the Son of God, even to them that believe on his name. It's the incarnate word. And it's in this God-man, in the incarnate word, that through him, notice, this attribute is passed on first in the natural realm. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Here's the promise. And of course, you know, I think that it is. Genesis 3, 15. This is when God spoke to Eve. It's a prophecy concerning Jesus Christ. I will put enmity between thee, speaking to the devil, and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. Shall bruise thy head, thou shalt bruise his heel. Talking about the incarnate word. Likewise in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 1. Matthew 1:1. True man. 1:1. Talking about the incarnate word, not the written word now. Book for the generation of what? Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Yeah, in reference to the God-man, see. We're talking about incarnate word is both divine and both human. Now, notice the written word. Likewise, like the incarnate word. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19 through 21. The written word. Divine and human. 2 Peter 1, 19 through 21. I think later, verse 21, let us read the whole bit. It's all there, but notice, it's not only divine, it's human. This written word is divine and human. Notice. We also have a more sure prophecy. Whereunto you do well that you take heed. Verse 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of scripture is in your private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Then you have the Holy Spirit, the divine, and the man, the instrument, human and the divine. good word. Likewise, note, if you will, that it was given by God. 2 Timothy chapter 3:16. Again, you'll note a very familiar scripture. We're talking about not the incarnate word now, but the written word. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. See, that's the word, the written word. Notice it's both divine and human again. It's given by who? By God. Well, we're talking about the written word. Notice it, this we've looked at 2 Timothy 2 Peter 1:21 a while ago, which is also another telling us this. But it is also not only given by God, but it's given by man too. Acts 28, verses 25 through 28. You ought to know that. Paul is quoting from the 6th chapter of Isaiah in reference to the God-man, you see, given by man as well as by God. And then it's given through man, 2 Peter, where we looked at that, but look at Hebrews 1:1. That's another reference we haven't looked at. Through man, as the divine and the human, again. Hebrews 1:1. They know this verse too. God, at sundry times in various manners, spake in the times past unto the fathers by the prophets. See? God and the prophet. Thine whom? Through man. See? The written word we're talking about. But notice the similarity in the organic union between the incarnate word and the written word. Notice that the incarnate word is eternal. 1 John chapter 2, verse 13. 1 John, now we're talking about the incarnate word, not the written word. 1 John chapter 2, verse 13. First John chapter 2 verse 13. The incarnate word as to his eternity. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him, not the written word, but him. See? That is from the beginning. This is going back to what he's talking about in this first chapter, but it's referring to him, the incarnate word. And then also in John's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, you know what that is. In the beginning was the Word, that's the incarnate Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word became flesh. But anyhow, this is he's eternal in his essence. Now, the written Word is also eternal. Psalm 119, verse 160. Thy word is true from the beginning, And every one of thy righteous judgments endures how long? Forever. The written word is forever, the same as the incarnate word. Likewise, in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8. Isaiah 48. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. So that the written word is eternal too. And then 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 23 through 25. Talking now about the written word. Incarnate, not the incarnate word, but the written word. 1 Peter.
This is not the written.
The written word, that's right. Yes, good. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 23 through 25. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, notice, which lives and abides forever. The very verse that we looked at of all of good in Isaiah, verse 25, that the word of the Lord endures how long? Forever. So that you see the similarity there. Now, we want to deal with one other factor tonight, and that's the immutability. First, of the incarnate word. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. The immutability.
Okay.
The incarnate word as immutable. Chapter 13 and verse 8, Hebrews. Keep that reference and look at before you look there, then we'll look at John 19 first. But keep your reference in Hebrews 13 and turn to John. Chapter 19, verse 36. Now keep in mind we're talking about the incarnate word as in it. John 19 and verse 36. Incarnate word. For these things were done in order that the scripture might be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken. We're talking about the incarnate word himself. Likewise, verse 13 of Hebrews, Hebrews verse, chapter 13, verse 8. And when? Today and forever. Immutable. That's the change. Then, John 10, 35. Not the book. That reference first, referencing it's immutable. It cannot be pretty good. Father, thank you to you, the Father, to us, in order to hold us.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.